Welcome to the Internet. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, co-host of the program and producer, and delighted to be with you here, where the good advice continues on the great voice of the Great Lakes, WJR. So what's it about this time? Well, the Internet Advisor is a place where you come every Saturday between 5 and 6 with your questions about your computer, and we have tech people in studio here to help answer those questions. Here's a number, 800-859-0957. Allow me to introduce you to our tech experts in the studio. Ed Rudell is here. Eddie, good to have you in studio.
Back from vacation and always good to be here.
He's ready to go, folks. He is our expert on the PC side, but he's also dabbled in the Macs and understands network applications and things like that as well.
Absolutely.
There you go.
That's what I tell my boss.
He's a tinkerer as well. He has torn it apart at one time or other and put it back together again with not too many screws left over.
Speaking of screws.
Welcome to our program as well to Bill Carver. Bill, thank you so much for joining us.
It's great to be back once again here at Ice Station WJR. It's doing pretty good.
Folks, if you're sweltering out there, I actually have been blowing on my hands in here because it's so cold in our studio. The air conditioning is working marvelously. You could create ice cubes in glasses of water, I think. In any case, Bill is our expert both on the PC and on the Mac side. Yep. Been working with Mac for a long time. He works at Quicken Computers, where you work with the...
Quicken Loans. I work with a team Quicken called Loans, The Guy, which is if there's ever a problem you're having in the company with computers, phones...
You call The Guy.
You call The Guy. I'm The Guy.
I like it. So if you work for Quicken and you wondered, who is that person? It's Bill. He's the guy. All right, folks. Here's our number, 800-859-0957. And I'm going to tell you at the beginning of this program, as I do at every program, please get on the phone and give us a call early in the show so we can get your question in and get some answers for you. Typically, people will wait maybe till a little later on in the program when they kind of got their courage up. And in the process, we miss the opportunity to talk to you on the air. We really like to do that because as we're in the process of answering your question, we're really helping a whole lot of other people. So please remember, the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. So please do. And the number to call to do that is 800-859-0957. Let's go out and start things with Larry from Cottawa, Ontario. Larry, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Very well. How can we help you?
Okay, I've got a desktop with Windows 7. And about a month ago, I got this notification from Microsoft that I could get Windows 10 for free if I registered. So I did.
Yeah.
I'm a little scared of anything that comes for free.
Oh, you know what I mean? I know there's no free lunch, right?
So, yeah, you know
that's
what?
Right.
And we've received several emails like, "Why is Microsoft giving it for free?" And you know, it must be their marketing team, Bill. What do you think?
Well, I think some of it it kind of reminded me of Sandra Bullock in The Net before, and they had the little pie thing show up in the computer, and went, "Don't click that." But actually, with Windows 10, I've been using the beta for a while.
I have too, yeah.
And it's been absolutely fantastic.
Yep.
And I tell you what, when I went from Windows 7 to Windows 8 on my prior computer, it doubled the speed of the computer, just getting Whoa. Windows 7 and all that weight off of it.
Well, it's not not necessarily the Windows 7. Windows 7 was great. It's the accumulated weight that happens
yes.
after you've installed Windows 7. Mm-hmm. And then when you go to Windows 8, yes, it was a lot of weight. It
yeah,
did
Windows
speed
8,
it up.
The whole computer just went, okay, I can work again. That's yep. the same thing that's going to happen to you with Windows 10. Unless you turn on Cortana, in which case it's going to go back down to being a little bogged.
And Cortana is the voice recognition software that Microsoft is providing for free, sort of like
Siri.
How you have the Siri on the
yeah.
iPhones.
Right.
And Apple's going to be, if they haven't already done so, going to be including that in their next Mac operating system,
yes.
I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, it's good, you know, that these two companies are battling
yep.
against each other.
Google Voice has been doing this as
yep.
well.
Mm-hmm.
It's
Android.
Almost inevitable that we're going to have more of this. Larry, one of the things I have to say, I think, my theory of this is that Microsoft is going to be giving away Windows 10 because that is the horse that they are betting everything on. And they want to get as many people as possible using it. Now, does that make me leery of it? No, because as with Bill, I have been using the pre-release versions of it. And it is wonderful. It is just, they've solved so many of the problems that they ran into with Windows 8. And Windows 8.1. And I think they'll give you... Now, by the way, this is going to go on for a year. So don't be undecided too long. My understanding is that for 1 year after July 29th, if you're a Windows 7 or a Windows 8 user, you can upgrade for free.
Yeah, you don't have to do it on the first day. You can continue to postpone it, you know, and see what type of stuff hits the fan, you know, hopefully not too much.
Right.
But everything should go pretty smooth.
Cal Carson, our Mac guy, says this. And Bill, I don't know if he waits for at least a month or more after Apple releases a new system to see what happens.
Yeah, I've got two computers that I use. The one I have here is my critical, and I don't want to mess this computer up, so it's running on a virtual machine in it. But my older computer that's at home is going to get that upgrade first and see what happens, read the blogs and see what happened. The good news is it comes out on the 29th is the day they said that, and that's going to be the first people to download that. The early adopters get it first, but it doesn't mean you're going to get it on the 29th. And you can tell it when. Now, even though you signed up for that, it's going to download it to your computer.
Yeah,
but you can tell it when to install.
And of course, it's probably going to have the first thing it's going to do is test to see if there's any compatibility issues with your computer or with any of the software.
Actually, it does it now. By the way, Larry, did you see how did you learn that you were going to get Windows 10 free?
It came as an icon on the bottom of my desktop.
That's right. It's a little white icon, and we talked about this before. It's like the Windows icon appears in the right-hand side. Yep. When you click on it, what happened?
It came up, wanted to know if I wanted to be on this thing.
Yep.
And
then what else did it do? Did you see what else it did?
Well, it asked them to register, and then you're right. And then I believe it did. You're right, Foster. It did ask if you'd like to download something to see if your computer's compatible.
Right. Then it ran a diagnostic, and that diagnostic will have told you. You can go back and look at that, by the way, if you have anything that you need to change there. So, Larry, I think with all confidence, you can load this onto your machine and good surfing after that. Take care, my friend, and have a very, very good weekend. 800-859-0957 is the number, and the lines are open for you. You remember the song, Ed, Family Affair? Bill, you remember that?
Yep.
Family Affair. Well, our show today is a family affair. On a couple of levels. Well, a guest in our first hour, and I hope that you will listen for that when we put the podcast up on Sunday night. Delightful conversation. Sharma Krauskopf, who is the wife of Dean Krauskopf, our gardening expert who was on just before us, was in. So that's one aspect of it. But right now, the gentleman who is answering the phones here is Talon Rudell, part of the family.
Yeah, we are coming back from vacation. We decided to drive right here. So, you know.
That's great. He's a great young man, and we're delighted to have him.
Yeah, I wanted to give him a little more experience, you know.
Excellent. Something else for his resume, huh?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk to Bob from Adrian. Bob, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Oh, thank you, and thank you for answering my call.
Sure.
I've got ask.com. I can't get it off my computer. Is there an easy way to do that?
Ask.com?
That's correct.
When does it show up, Bob?
Well, as soon as I click my browser, I'm supposed to click...
You like Internet Explorer or Firefox?
In other words, it sounds like, Bob, you had another home page that showed up. Like what? MSN or something like that?
No, it was...
What browser are you using?
I use Google and Firefox.
Okay. So when you open up Google, what would normally show up?
It just automatically comes up ask.com.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
Okay,
that's the
there's
issue.
Two possibilities. One of which is just simply going into your internet options. If you go to the start and go to control panels, you'll see internet options, and you can set any odd page that's there. So you could use that, go to whatever page you'd like, or you could type its address in that spot, and that would do it.
So you're talking about changing your homepage. Okay,
changing
good.
Your homepage,
so
that's one.
That.
And you can even
at least
click on use default. But if you haven't got that, the other possibility is that you might have got the Ask toolbar with some other software.
Yes. And you is it possible you would find that in the control under programs?
Yeah, that's going to be under programs is where it winds up.
I didn't see it in there.
Under programs and features?
Yeah.
Oh, really? What you're running what? Windows 7?
Windows 7, yeah.
Okay.
So it might be under Ask Jeeves if it's an older version. This is usually installed when you download Java updates.
Yeah.
And when you install, and which happens all the time, quite more than once a month.
And it'll there'll be a checkbox in there that basically says, do you wish to install the Ask toolbar?
You know. And I'm afraid what may have happened is when you were updating something like that, that you got snagged by that.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know, and you didn't see the checkbox, you went right by it, and all of a sudden, boom.
The Ask toolbar is a lot like the three ghosts in the Haunted Mansion. They're just going to go with you. And
the other thing is, okay, with Chrome...
you could go into the extensions and within the Chrome and remove it. So
you see those three, if you go to Chrome and you open it up, there's like what they call the hamburger menu, which is like the three slashes. If you kick on that and then you go to the, tell me, guys.
No, it's settings.
Is it settings you go to?
And then you go to the extensions. So yeah, you go to settings and then Google
settings.
And then left-hand side you have extensions and it'll show you which extensions or add-ons in Internet Explorer. It's called add-ons. In Chrome, it's called extensions.
And that's where you can enable and disable and, as a matter of fact, delete said search bar.
Now, Bill, do you know where that is in Firefox? I haven't installed Firefox in a while.
You know, honestly, I haven't either myself.
Okay.
I know it's going to be
somewhere. It's a similar feature, It's a similar thing.
In other words, it's under your settings and tools, and it'll be called an extension or something like that, or a tool by helper.
But the first thing that Bill and I have thought of is you go into the control panel under Programs and Features, and you should be able to uninstall the Ask toolbar. It should be listed in there.
Yeah.
And one of the things you can do is you can actually sort your Program and Features by date and time, when was it installed, so that you can, you know, if you have a gazillion items in there, and maybe it's not listed alphabetically, maybe it's called something else other than Ask, you can at least find out that something was installed at least 30 or 60 days ago. Oh, what is this? Oh, it does have Ask in it. Let me remove that.
Yeah, okay, also in that uninstall a program, there's a place you can sort it by publisher. If you don't see it in the list of the program,
good point.
You can actually look for Ask in the publisher.
Okay, Bob, so we've given you a number of ways of looking for it under the programs in your control panel or in the browsers themselves, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that question. And it is maddening, too, when you go to use a browser and suddenly it's been hijacked. And even in this case, I don't think it's a nasty hijack.
No, it's not.
But it's a bother. You don't want to be driven off of, you know, your normal course. All right, let's talk to Ruth from Westland. Ruth, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hi, thank you very much.
How can we help you?
I wanted to talk about Windows 10 just a little bit.
Sure.
I think, this is just my opinion, but I was reading up on it, and there's a lot of uncertainty as far as, you know, it talks about, you know, you may need new software requirements, new hardware requirements as time goes on with it. And it strikes me that what they're doing is Windows 10 is the gateway to the subscriptions, online subscriptions. And at some point, once you've got Windows 10 and it's all good to go, at some point, they're going to be charging you for a subscription. And, you know, I mean, that's okay. Obviously, that's another way to do business, but I think people need to be aware of it. I think people, jump into it not realizing that the Windows 10 operating system, this is what it does.
Well, you bring up a good point, because when Microsoft first made the announcement, what they said is that it was going to be free for the first year.
Yes.
And then we actually put that to a couple Microsoft sales representatives, and they basically said, well, yeah, that means for the first year it's free. And then I asked them specifically, does that mean Windows 10 is going to be subscription-based? And they go, boy, it sure sounds like it. And they were Microsoft employees, and they didn't know.
Yeah.
And what happened is that within a week, they got their keisters chewed out by a Microsoft for making that statement on a radio station, and that is absolutely true. Not true. Microsoft is not going to charge you for Windows 10 after the first year.
Oh, good, good.
But you are correct that you would think, I mean, there's a lot of things going subscription-based.
Bill,
you have 365.
That's what I was going to say.
Office 365. You have Adobe's coming out with their Premiere. That's based.
They're all going the subscription-based. Even your virus protection and things like that. Yep. Bill, I'm sorry.
And you know, the subscription-based thing, if you've got Microsoft Office, you know, for, what's it, $100 or so a month, $100 a year or
a year,
so,
roughly,
you've got
right.
five computers you can run it on any device
you have.
It's
the best bargain around for me.
It's great. And the same thing with the operating system. As long as Microsoft makes it worth my while to pay for that, even if they did decide to do this down the road.
I'd be fine with it.
You know, it is a big paradigm shift. A lot of people are thinking, I'm buying this. It is like a DVR. It's a Blu-ray, and I don't want it to change. I want it to be exactly the way it is. And
it's mine.
It's mine, and I don't want to have to pay it to power it up in a year from now. So there's a paradigm shift that a lot of people are going to have to get used to.
Ruth, I think you have put your finger on something that is true, and that what they discovered, I say they, and that's everybody out there who's trying to sell you things, is that the subscription thing works. For instance, I think of it in terms of $9 a month. I pay a month for
Amazon.
Well, for Amazon, right?
Or Netflix.
Or for Netflix. Or for Office 365.
Yes.
But when you add those little stinkers up, I'm probably paying close to $60 a month in subscriptions.
Yep.
And I don't think of it those ways.
Well, yeah, you could pay $9 a month for HBO to go.
There you go. Or what's something came by as $15. Anyway, Ruth, I think you put your finger on something that we're all going to have to deal with, the fact that this subscription model has been working like a charm.
Yep. You know what? And I really do not like giving my credit card information to all these other companies out there for those monthly fees.
And the automatic updates.
And the automatic,
hit your account when the bank, your bank account may be a little bit low, and all of a sudden, three or four of them hit it.
I dislike that.
I don't.
That's where Apple Pay comes
in.
Ruth,
I think
until they get smart chips, until they come up with smart chips in the United States for the credit cards, I do not like this one at all. I mean, everything that you want to get is subscription based, and I have to give them my credit card if I want to use that stuff, and I don't like it.
I do not like this at all, Sam. I am.
Yeah.
Ruth, thank you.
Before you let me go, I just want to know, there's no way that once you get 10, you can go back to 8.1, is there?
I think they will probably give you a way to roll back, Ruth. Yes, I think they probably will. We'll check that out, though, as we go on. That's a very good question that everybody else is going to want. 800-859-0957. Kevin and Robin, back for you. Thank you for cooling off here with the Internet Advisor. And Robin from Ypsilanti will be with you in just a moment. Just kind of quickly, I want to thank the folks who are behind the glass, as we say, the people who are making the program work. And that's Dave Schwartz, who's been with us for both of these hours of the Internet Advisor. And you say both hours? Wow. Well, what happened to the other one? Well, we pre-record an hour before we get on the air with you here. And the good news is that on Sunday nights, we edit that all together for you into a single podcast, which you can get by going to internetadvisor.net. Or if you're on iTunes or some other place, I use Downcast as one of the pieces of one of the applications I use for gathering my podcasts that I listen to. You can subscribe to us through there too as well. And you get both hours. It's a really interesting discussion about the movie Keepers, which is being developed by Sharma Krauskopf and a number of other people. They just started a new campaign to raise funds for this next phase. And if you're interested in helping an aspiring great film company here in Michigan, doing a story about lighthouses and the keepers who have made them great and saved so many lives over the years, then you want to make sure you get involved in that. All right, let's get back to our phone. Now, oh, by the way, the phone number is 800-859-0957. We're here for another 20 minutes, 25 minutes, I should say. Mike Brennan will be coming up with the Michigan Technology News, MI Tech News, at about quarter to the hour. And we've got plenty of space for your call as well. Robin, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you here on the great voice of the Great Lakes?
Yes. I actually called in to chime in to give you guys some more information on Windows 10. I've been actively using the tech preview since November.
Good.
And I've been keeping up with all of the updates with it and have been actively using it within my workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And as of right now, I know a lot of people like to wait a month or two before switching over to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Upon release, there should be really no issues at all. I've been using it actively within the workplace, testing it with our software, making sure that there aren't any issues. You know, we actively access SQL databases and everything of that sort.
Excellent.
But once it releases, you guys should be able to upgrade to it immediately with little to no issue.
You know, Robin, you've raised an interesting point for me, and Ed, Ed and Bill. One of the things about software operating systems in the past, at least, Bill, I noticed this with Apple, is that they release it, and then you got to kind of hold your breath and hope that the update will fix a lot of stuff. And that had been the case with, I think, Microsoft operating systems in the past. The difference with this one is that they put that technical review, a preview out there long time ago. I was I was using it probably, late spring I started using some of them. And they had lots of time to work through the mistakes there before they got it released to the general population. So it seems to me that they have done the right thing in the way they're releasing it.
Yeah, I've been watching the quality get up really, really well there.
Go ahead, Robert.
I haven't encountered any issues with it. They did have like a bad version of it back in April, but they've since fixed those issues. But another thing, I was overhearing from one of the other callers with the Ask toolbar and the Ask homepage. With the Java update. Mm-hmm. If you go into your control panel, there is a Java there's a Java icon in there. If you go into that icon, there's a tab in the upper right for advanced. If you scroll all the way down, you can actually disable third-party applications or third-party installers for the client.
Bless your heart.
I never knew that.
Go through that again. Go through that again, Robin, because this is gold.
We're going there now.
We're all going there right now.
It's just one of those features that were hidden, basically, probably thrown out there for, you know, corporations that also have to get these updates, and they do not want unwanted published software rolled out to their organization. So,
which is why it's rolled into my group policy.
Yep.
Oh, that's so. Go through those steps again for us, please.
If you go to your Start menu and Control Panel. And if you have assorted your control panel options by icons, there is a Java option. Once you click on that, you'll get a pop-up, and then in the upper right-hand corner, there's an Advanced tab. Click on that and scroll all the way to the bottom, and then you can uncheck the third-party application.
Don't you just love it? If you scroll all the way to the bottom, it's like an Easter egg hunt.
That's great. Thank you, Robin.
Not a problem. I love listening to you guys.
Oh, thank you, Rob. Well, listen, by the way, Robin, I want to salute you for something. This is what we really look for, is that listeners like yourself out there who can help not only us, but a whole lot of other people with some great advice. So, Robin, hats off to you. You've made our day today. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. You guys have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Robin.
And now, Foster, we did find out that Windows 10, you will be able to roll it back to your previous operating system, either Windows 8.1 or Windows 7, and you have 30 days to do that.
Oh, okay.
So what happens when you install Windows 10, it creates a Windows.old folder, but Microsoft will remove that ability to roll it back to your previous operating system after 30 days.
The good news with this is I think that people will have less and less reason to do that. Of course, there'll be reasons that some people will want to do that, but I don't think that is going to be as big an issue as it has been in the past. Again, a number, 800-859-0957. Let's say hello to Steve. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, Steve. How can we help you?
Kind of related to the previous question that you were just talking about. I saw a note on the internet the other day, which if you have Windows 7 or XP or 8, they're going to force it on you. And I didn't realize that, I don't know if that's true or not, and I didn't realize it would be a rollback window. But why would they force something on you?
Well, they're not forcing it, but everyone's been notified. Microsoft released an automatic security update. You know how our computers are pre-configured. So everyone that had a computer that's eligible to be updated to Windows 10, which are Windows 7 users and Windows 8 users, they received an update that notified them that they're eligible for a free upgrade to Windows 10. And if you'd like to register, please provide us your email address so that we can send you the notification and confirm your that you wish to be updated automatically to Windows 10.
So they're not going to force it. So you have to make the effort to go get it.
Yes.
Well,
you have to acknowledge that. Now, it might be pushed to your computer.
Yes, you have
even
to.
Even the final install, but for me, it's sort of like somebody forcing me to eat a donut. It's not something that's not going to be hard to do. It's really that good.
Right, yep. And most I love that, Bill. One of the things that is going to happen, though, it needs to do a compatibility check. So if you pre-register right now, it'll check your computer to see if you have enough disk drive space, enough memory, how the performance is going to to be.
If there's software that won't work.
If there's incompatible software, or there's software that you're running that may not be compatible with it.
And which will be less of an issue with somebody coming from Windows 7 or 8. But if somebody's got XP, there's a...
They're not going to receive an update because they're not, right. Microsoft isn't pushing
now,
updates.
By the way, that is important to know, by the way, Steve. What are you running right now?
I'm running Windows 7.
Good. I'm glad to hear you're running Windows 7. Because if you are running Windows XP, you're kind of out of luck because of the fact that they're going to be ending the... Well, they have ended the support for XP.
Right. I've got a laptop with Windows 8 on it, 8.2 or whatever, and I'm not real fond of it. It seems like it's, as much as I've used, it seems like it gets more complicated and harder to work with every time I touch it.
Okay, here's the good news then. And guys, Bill in particular, you've been using this. What I have noticed with Windows, and I have had a lot of problems with Windows 8, and my wife was on her computer, but when I moved to Windows 10, a lot of those problems went away. It began to look, first of all, more like Windows 7, which you're comfortable with, I
imagine. And it was more mouse-friendly.
A
version of the start menu came back.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And what happened to me, at least, was I felt like the good stuff that was in Windows 8 stuck around, and it got back to, in terms of usability, much friendlier. Bill, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, and you can actually use it either way. I actually got to like the Windows 8 thing that was the way it was working, because the speed at which I could work with the tiles in the front. And I thought when I first saw Windows 10, oh, I'm going to miss that. But I can turn that back on if I want to.
And you can include a lot of those tiles on your start menu as well. You can pin them to your start menu.
Yeah, and you can change the width of that start menu to be your whole screen, half screen, not there at all, whatever you'd like to do. So it's got a lot of flexibility.
The tiles, in essence, are like the icons on 7.
Yes, yeah. What they've tried to do is to make it as simple as possible for you to get at your mail, to get at whatever the key programs you use. Now, here's the cool thing with Windows 10 that I've experienced is that you can pin only those applications that you use all the time, whether it's, you know, mail or maps or music or whatever it is, just those ones there. And they're very easy then to control.
Yeah, one of the things that happened with Windows 8 was the backlash. For what you're saying, Microsoft forced you to go to a tile interface.
Yeah.
You could not have your legacy interface, and they did a hardline. That peed off a lot of people.
Ticked a lot of people off.
Oh, yeah.
So, Steve, I hope it's good news for you.
Yeah, well, I just hope it's compatible with Chrome myself, because I do use Chrome instead of IDE.
It will be.
It works.
It does. It works well with it. All right, Steve, thanks so much for giving us a call. Mike from Royal Oak, back with you in just a moment. And Mike Brennan. Well, this is the time of the program when we introduce you to Mr. Mike Brennan, who is the publisher of MI Tech News. It's a collection of the top news items in technology and entrepreneurship throughout the state of Michigan. And you say it must cost you a fortune. It's free, and you get it every week on Friday. Mike, let's let them know what some of the headlines are here that you're looking at this week. National venture capital investment in the second quarter bests $17 billion. That's the first time in a while, isn't it?
Since the fourth quarter of the year 2000, which is, of course, 2000 is when the dot-com bubble burst.
Yep.
So this is really good news. A lot of VC money has been on the sidelines for a variety of reasons, part of which was, you know, they weren't sure about the Internet. Now, of course, there's a lot of money that's coming back into the market. Everything's really rosy. It's all great news. And in Michigan, we did 18 deals for about almost $50 million in the second quarter, so that's a good thing, too.
That's excellent. Yeah, it's a great place to be if you're an entrepreneur. And by the way, MI Tech News is a great way of finding out where those funding sources are. As a matter of fact, you had a number of things in your headlines this week. We're talking about money that's available to entrepreneurs, contests and things like that that are out there as well, Mike.
Yeah, we try to cover all that, particularly anything for entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. Being one myself, I know how tough it is to raise money. Yeah, well, it's tough to raise money, period, but for an entrepreneur in particular, because startups are so iffy. You know, it's like anything else. I mean, you're taking a chance. A lot of them fail. So getting other people to put their money into the kitty other than your friends and family, that's usually pretty easy, but professionals are a bit pickier, right?
Well, one of the other things that's great about MI Tech News is that you also have a tremendous number of other sources, a growing number of other sources of information, programs like ours, like IT in the D, and Digital Divas. Matter of fact, I saw episode number 9 there. These are powerful ladies who are involved in technology, entrepreneurial, and technology businesses, who every week highlight a woman who is at the top of her field.
Yeah, they do, and it's a diverse crew on the Digital Divas. You have Nicole Johnson, who covers STEM for me, and she's also the only woman in a high-ranking position at Cisco in the state of Michigan.
Wow.
You have Amanda Luan, who is the co-founder of Bamboo Detroit, co-working right. space downtown, younger woman about my daughter's age. You shouldn't give us away my age, right? And then Kathleen Norton-Shock, who's the old pro. I should be careful how I say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was
Who is the more seasoned pro.
There you go.
Who's connected to everybody. So, I mean, between the three of them, they do wonderful jobs.
Wonderful.
So.
Hey, one last thing I want to talk about before you step out here is that you're going to be involved in a maker fair that's going on at, is it this weekend or next weekend coming up?
Next weekend, yeah.
Okay.
Next weekend at the Henry Ford. In fact, I'm going to do my segment from the show,
excellent.
From the Henry Ford Maker Fair. And it starts on Saturday, runs Saturday and Sunday. There's going to be more than 400 makers there showing off their wares.
Fascinating.
And it could be anything from 3D type stuff to robotics to drones to jewelry. It's all sorts of stuff. And then they're expecting upwards of 50,000 people to come through.
Whoa! Now, is that going to be in the museum or at the village or between?
Both. It's so big this year, it's going to be both in the museum and outside. And hopefully the weather will be, cooperative.
I hope it does. I hope it does. Mike, thanks so much for being with us here. Mike Brennan, the editor of MI Tech News. It's good always to have you with us.
Thanks very much, Foster. Look forward to next week.
Absolutely. From the Maker Fair. By the way, if you want to get hold of MI Tech News, very simple. Go to internetadvisor.net, scroll down the page, and then right next to Mike's smiling face, click on that button. It says subscribe now. You simply put in your email address, and it's on its way to you every week. These headlines and many, many more. You'll find an incredible number of resources available for you there. Absolutely free. All right, let's wrap things up. Let's go to Mike from Royal Oak. Mike, how can we help you here on the Internet Advisor?
Okay, thanks for being there.
Sure.
This is not a big problem. It's just kind of a curiosity question here. I had installed an older version of the Zone Alarm Free Firewall on a Windows 7 computer that had no firewall before that, other than the Windows firewall, I guess. And I used it for a couple months, and I turned it off, and it was turned off for a couple months. When I turned it back on, within a short period of time, I get this message. I didn't write it down. I'm assuming it was a Windows message.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something to the effect that the zone alarm that was on the machine was not compatible. And the pop-up went away.
Hmm.
And so then I went to control panel to see if my zone alarm was still there.
Good.
And it wasn't there. And then I checked the Windows firewall, and it was turned on. So.
Well, I mean, that's what Microsoft will do. It'll turn on a firewall if it doesn't see one present. But the question is, how did it get uninstalled? You never uninstalled it. You just turned it off, right?
Correct. I just turned the machine off.
Not the software. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Not the software.
Okay.
I installed it in January, and I probably used it for a couple months, two, mm-hmm. 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Zone Alarm, and I thought Zone Alarm was working okay. I didn't get any error messages or anything.
Yeah.
And then I turned the machine off. It just sat there, turned off for a couple months.
I got you. So then when you boot it up after that, that's when it'd be gone.
It's gone. We don't know what happened.
Gone.
Yeah.
Shazam, it's gone.
It's gone.
And I don't know why that would have happened, yeah.
I don't know why. You know, you brought a name up there, Zone Alarm, that I have not heard in a long time. Bill, have you?
I've not heard it in a very long time, except on a website called bleepingcomputer.com, which is where you can find the removal tool to get rid of it.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it was the hero.
Well, with Windows XP, yes, and Vista, because the firewalls in Windows only monitored incoming traffic, not outgoing traffic. And that's why Zone Alarm, was when it was free, did very well, because it monitored incoming and outgoing.
So if something had gotten
into your computer
and was, you know, calling home.
Yeah, when they had nothing on there, or very ineffective stuff with both Windows XP and with
Vista,
thanks, the one that was after. Vista was the one that when you pressed your power button, it came up with a dialogue that said, are you sure you wish to turn your computer on? And also, Zone Alarm on their side, if you just type Zone Alarm and then remove into Google, you're going to come up to Bleeping Computer. And actually, Zone Alarm's own site, they have their Zone Alarm product removal to get whatever version you
what
have on.
What does Zone Alarm do anymore?
You know, good question.
Yeah,
I think
I
it just
know.
Comes up. It's kind of like Bonsai Buddy. It's just there to put up something without the gorilla.
Well, Mike, the good news, I guess, in all of this is that if you download the Microsoft Security Essentials, MSE, it will not only give you a firewall, but it will also give you a great suite of security that is very lightweight and is perfectly tailored for Windows 7. The even better news is if you're going to Windows 8.1,
you won't need it.
Yeah, because
it comes with it.
It's been built in. So we've come a long way from the time, Ed, when you needed to install it because Microsoft just wasn't paying attention to that kind of security, to a place now where they are building it in. They're not taking any chances.
Right.
Yeah, and I like Microsoft's now because not only is it very effective at what it does, but it's also quiet about it. It's not sitting there coming up with a big box that says, your computer does not have anything wrong with it. It's like Will Riker in Star Trek saying, red alert, nothing's wrong. And so the Microsoft one being quiet just does its job until you need to know.
All right, Mike, thank you so much for being with us here.
Thank you very much.
Take care of yourself. Bill Carver, on that note, thank you again for being with us here and helping with solve some problems for us this afternoon. Bill Carver, he is the man who is the guy. If you happen to work for Quicken and you need help,
the man with the cat videos is here.
Eddie Burdell, thank you for coming back from vacation.
Always great, yeah.
Yeah, you don't smell like a campfire.
No, thanks, Foster.
Talon Rudell, thank you for being our screener today, doing an excellent job at that. And Dave Schwartz, thank you for doing a great job as editor. Pardon me, our editor, on the fly, our engineer. And by the way, folks, coming this Sunday night, that's tomorrow night, please go to internetadvisor.net, and then you'll be able to download the entire podcast of the 2-hour show. First hour was about the Keeper movie. Have yourself a great weekend.